So, Al Sines is back. He just couldn't stay away from city council. You've been reelected, so we congratulate you on that.
Here we go again.
Yeah, one more time. Well, then let's kind of go back. Where was Brian when we left off with you as an elected official, and where is it today in your view?
Well, to a large extent, I think it's pretty much in the same position. But I'm optimistic about what the future holds. Coming into a new year and new blood, new attitude, I believe, with the overwhelming victories that I had in my district, and who I refer to as a RP3, Rafael Peña III.
there you go. For the first time now since probably the late 60s, there is not a black member on the city council in the city of Bryan. What will you, as one member of council, do to try to make sure that that group of people do not feel disenfranchised?
Very good question, and I feel strongly about that. I mean, there's no question that myself and Mr. Peña, Councilman Peña, are going to represent our districts to the best of our ability, regardless of income, ethnic background, or the ethnicity of the people. It's just a matter of doing what we feel and believe is the best thing in representing our districts.
Is it fair to say, simply because your last time at council, and of course you lost by only one vote, but is it fair to say that this council has a different look or a different feel than the last council you sat on?
Well, the look hasn't changed so much, but the feel, there's some talk about a new feel, a team effort in the approach of governance. I'm looking forward to seeing what that means, what that represents. In the past, was it not a team effort in the past? I have to question that. But I'm looking to be a member of the team. But I was also elected as a team member for the residents and voters of District 1. That's my first team.
Well, what's the challenges that are faced by the residents of District 1 as far as you're concerned?
Well, I just think that the residents and the city has to look towards this as well, that the residents really have been neglected in the past, in the history. It's just institutional neglect as far as looking towards Districts 1 and 2 and what could be done in those districts. I think that's the field that you may be touching on, is about a new attitude, a new idea, the team effort. And I also tag to that the partnership of participation. What we can do as a council, as a partnership, to bring the standard of living, if you will, up for Districts 1 and 2. It doesn't help the community, the region, the area, to have those parts of the city look the way they do after so long. So some people suggested that the funds of the older part of town, Districts 1 and 2, really spurred the development in the other parts of town. And now I think people are expecting for that to reverberate back, because for it to go out and then stay out is not a good thing. Those tax dollars have to come back to Districts 1 and 2, where they derived from initially.
Well, so Al Sines joining us, a newly reelected member of the Bryan City Council after being off for a term. Define for us, will you, geographically, your area that you represent?
Well, it's primarily west of downtown Bryan, but it's pretty easy to describe. I've done it hundreds of times while campaigning. It basically starts at the corner of Martin Luther King and Highway 21, up to Martin Luther King, Texas Avenue, down to Villa Maria, over to South College, across to Carson Street, 2818, where the new Walmart is, and then back to Highway 21 and back to MLK.
Well, you mentioned the new Walmart. That certainly is going to be an engine. I can see that can obviously bring new dollars in there, but it can change traffic patterns.
Sure.
This could be an area that could grow very vibrantly.
Absolutely, and I'm expecting it too. If for some reason, I see growth going out to the shores of the Brazos River for some reason. But if that's what the future holds, I'm looking forward to seeing that happen.
There were only 300 people who voted in your race.
Exactly.
There were fewer people who voted in that district than any other district.
Mm-hmm.
You got 171 votes. Mm-hmm. That's not a strong mandate from hard numbers. What do you do? And I don't know if it's chicken or an egg, but what is it that keeps people from wanting to participate at the ballot box?
I think it's just a matter of the people themselves taking responsibility to get involved in their local government. That's the first thing, because the city and representatives and staff or whoever else can only do so much. But it becomes important that the citizens and voters themselves get out and take an interest in what's going on around them in their community.
Do you feel as though your district is fairly represented in the boards and commissions that have appointments that can be made?
No, I can't agree with that. Not that you're making a statement, but no, it's if anything, it's underrepresented. Not just Districts 1, but Districts 2. There is a perspective that I think the city and decision makers have to be aware of from that side of town. We could use more voices from Districts 1 and 2 on boards and commissions.
Okay, but then don't they have to make application first?
Again, they have to take the initiative to get involved in their local government. But at the same time, of course, how do you say to someone, encourage them to get involved? You know, it's a two-way thing. But although where residents and Hispanics, let's say, don't readily join. They're not joiners per se, but I think they do have an expectation that their representatives will represent their best interests, whether they're on a board or commission or involved.
Well, and I can see in some ways there'd be reticence on their part, any number of situations that could cause that to happen, but could part of it be simply that some of them haven't taken ownership because they've not lived here that long? Well, are they not generational?
Yeah, that's a great part of it. The community is, in my way, is evolving. Over the last, 10, 15, 20 years, we've had new blood come in. And a lot of those may explain the changeover in representatives in District 2. A lot of what I describe as upward mobile African-Americans that were predominant in Districts 2 have moved up to greater and bigger things and have been replaced by the new arrivals. And so it's not so much that perhaps they weren't involved or, you know, but it's just the evolution of hopefully a positive growth in where people are moving and moving out of their district.
Sure, if they become upwardly mobile, they'll be diffused throughout the rest of the population of the city rather than staying in that district.
Well, absolutely.
It's and I think it came up, we certainly noticed it during our candidates' forums, that that sidewalks was a really big issue in 1 and 2, and as you're saying, really, 1 has probably had that discussion for a long time. There's a lot of money being spent in the general area, but maybe not reaching out to the neighborhoods.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny to me, because we've heard throughout the years that, look at how much money we spent in District 1, which a lot of it was focused in the downtown area. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars, more than $20 million. Look what we've done for you. You know, we spent $20 million or more in District 1. Yeah, but or they'll point to traditions. Look at what we've done to West Bryan. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that when you say you've invested money in West Bryan, that you invested money in the west part of the old part of Bryan. You know, that we were actually leapfrogged to go out to traditions. And so we're not digging that too much. You know, it's like, well, how do you argue that? You know, you really haven't spent anything on the infrastructures in the immediate area in District 1. So, you know, without picking a fight or being considered anti-business or something like that, I have to be cognizant that I'm pro-business, but at the same time not be viewed as anti-business. You know, just because I support my district, it seems like if you're a strong advocate for Districts 1 or 2, and you ask for things, you're anti-business. That's not true at all. Actually, District 1 has more small mom-and-pop businesses than any other district in the area. So, I mean, it would be counterintuitive for me to
pro-business. Boy, you ask yourself a great question, Al. I appreciate But you did. You fleshed out a problem that is there. You're right. There are a lot of moms and pops there. And believe me, I believe in mom and pop. I think that's a very important thing to do. So what do you think the city might be able to do to help the moms and pops? Yes, you like the large companies that come in that bring a lot of things, and you're going to do tax incentives for them. But what plans might you have to cause the moms and pops, not only in 1 or 2, but any place else in the city, to be able to feel like this is a good environment for my business to grow and flourish?
Well, it may be, for lack of a better term, a two-tier concept to business. You have the older business, the mom and pop, who don't have the financial funding or backing that, let's say, a new Walmart has.
Well, and they're not going to have the financial impact on the community either, honestly. Their sales are not going to be what Walmart's are, but they are an important part of the economy.
Exactly. And so I think one of the major things that we could do, whereas a multi-conglomerate coming in, pretty much can afford just about anything that they want. The mom and pop who's going to open up in a little area in this part of town, a region or an area of the part of town where there isn't that much room for growth, the city can do little things to tweak, let's say a requirement for parking. It just doesn't allow itself for that, or parking on the street. These small things that the city can do to facilitate, maybe letting up on some of the codes or whatever that would discourage businesses from opening up. You know, I'd love to open up, but the city won't allow me to have people park on the street, or they demand that I open up, buy another lot or two to provide parking. Yeah, you know, in an area like that, if the businesses were allowed to open, a lot of their customers would walk there anyway, because it would be what a neighborhood bodega type thing. So, and okay, we could use more of that downtown.
So Al Sines joining us this morning. So you've identified that problem. So as a member of council, what can you do?
Well, I've suggested in the past, but again, the drive and motivation and interest was not there to do anything about it. But I think we're going to have to think progressively, more progressively, to the idea that let's do what we can to embrace and facilitate small business in the older parts of town, because unless big business comes in, you know, a Walmart or a Target or whatever it may be, a restaurant, there's not going to be much change there. But yet, at the same time, the city also has to take the lead and put more money into infrastructure as well to maybe entice more small business to begin with and any other business after that.
Well, we'll look forward to the challenges, because I know there's some out there. But, I like the concept. There have to be a lot of facets. There have
Absolutely.
To be a lot of faces
Absolutely.
for a city to grow. Is there anything we hadn't covered that you want to mention?
Well, no, not, okay, sure. I mean, here we are ending a year and coming into a new year, and I'm looking forward to what we can do to really bring more movement, more business, more enthusiasm to the older parts of downtown, Brian. I think the makeup of the council right now is conducive to that. Both the mayor, myself, and RP3 campaigned on more infrastructure spending in the area. So I think that maybe the drive is there now, the will is there now to make the changes now that will affect the growth of the city for the next 20, 30, 40 years. We have to have a longer view of what the our decisions make, as opposed to just a 3 or 4 or 5 year perspective of what our decisions make. We have to look further into the future.
I'm looking forward to you being back on the council and you coming to visit with us from time to time.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you. That's Al Sines, the newly reelected member of the Bryan City Council.